bitch up to something. Oh, oh, yeah, we up to something.
Oh, snap. We going.
Yeah. So we are here. Swerve City Podcast uniting with the Busted Open Radio Podcast. Yo, the collaborations is real. It's real. It really happened, yo. I've been promising LaGreca for years.
I've been begging.
I've always been breaking promises left and right for like the last. I had like 2 wrestling contracts since we talked about doing this.
But you never promised. Like, I would just I would comment on posts and stuff like that. Like, I'm available. I'd love to. Who do you want to see on the Swerve City Podcast next? And I have the emoji person with the hand up in the air and stuff like that. And finally.
And I'm like, yeah.
But it took, you know. But again, I had to bring a guest, you know. Like, I had to get Mark. Yeah, I wasn't going to just be me. Then we're going to just get.
No, you needed some clout, man. You need some clout to get this on, man.
You got to let it fester and bubble to, you know, get to the point to where it's just about to explode or you're about to stick the pin in it. And then you go, okay. Yeah, it was gross, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm like, said. Are we popping pimples now, bro?
You gotta let it fester.
Doctor. All right, but before we get into the good of this conversation we're going on, we got some promoting to do, and I'm gonna throw it back to my man over here, TZ. What up, Heck?
What is going on, everybody? So we have some special promotions here, that we are working with. And first thing I would like to say is, you go to all digital platforms coming, you know, in about... What, no, 2 weeks?
Two more weeks. By the time they see this, about 1 week left.
We've been saying this since
2021.
We are on our third project, everybody. Tears.
Road to Tears.
It is our best project we have done, man. This is a lot of fun. This is the most fun I've had in the studio in a long time. You know, when you become a grizzled old veteran in this rap thing, your ideas run kind of low. But when you have great energy like this with my brother, we have... made a great project. If you guys are staying tuned, we have music videos coming, behind the scenes coming, blogs, a whole lot of content for you guys to see that we had putting behind this album with the great likes of Mickey Fax, Chris Cage, Ace Cabana. We have John Connor on the project. And I am not going to remiss if I did not say, in my opinion, one of the greatest R&B artists of all time. Music Soul Child is on the project as well.
Get the hell out of here.
We have Music Soul Child as well.
I got the footage.
Featuring Mark Henry, too.
My song.
Reprising as Sexual Chocolate, man.
Sexual Chocolate ain't fake.
Yes. So make sure you guys tune in, and we will definitely have more updates for you guys as it come along. A lot of content, so tune into that as we move along.
I know we haven't introduced, and we're not a part of this.
Sure. What's up?
But like, you know what I see in this graphic about the album?
What's that?
Hope. Like, you see the earth, the water is clear and crystal and blue, and then you got all these flowers where the land masses are, like, you know, you hope that the world could be beautiful again.
There's beauty in, like, the lyrics that we spit on this. Mostly we talk about the women, the beauty in it, and the ugliness of it. But overall, we get to the beauty of it. So, like, how we basically, the slogan for this is, like, in humble beginnings, we gave you our blood. In GPS, we gave you our sweat. Now, March 18th, we give you our tears.
Wow. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Beautiful.
See, when I look at it, I see that there's flowers in the woman's eyes, so she can't see, so I have a chance. That's what I see. Yeah. Like, everybody looks at the art a little
next
bit different.
Next, you'll be seeing something about her mouth being open. Shame on you, Dave. Shame.
Absolutely, man.
Moving on.
We
got some other stuff to promote here.
If you guys had a chance, you know, we have here at Revolution Weekend, we had a great music showcase. By the time you guys see this, obviously it'll be out. And we had a great time. Shout out to my brother, my younger brother, Josiah Williams. We put on a great show. Shout out to Mikey for even inviting both of us to do it. We had
Look at the headline and photos, man. Look at you.
We had a great, great time, man. Shout out to the great legend, Mark Henry, for coming through and hopping on stage with us. As we
strutting his stuff,
you know, he came up with the cameraman, camera works man, and came on stage. We had a great time. Shout out to all the fans that came out. The crowd participation was amazing.
It was
actually surprised. Thank you guys for all the support, and this was a lot of fun. Look forward to the next one, and you know, all the other artists that get the great opportunities. Just glad to say I was on the first one. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, Teezy, you look like you're about to be on Fast 11.
I look like I got like one acting scene left in me, bro. And I just made that face like, I got my last film in me, bro.
Like, you threw the keys to Vin Diesel saying,
it's like, get him.
That's what you're doing. Definitely, man. If you was in Fast, in one of the Fast 26, what vehicle would you be driving?
I don't know, but I would definitely die first. I'll tell you that.
I would definitely. You know, he'd wreck the car.
Yeah.
Right, I'm right there with you. The brother gonna go first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drive into a pit of alligators or some shit.
Yeah, my death is just odd, too. There's just alligators with, like, electricity with it.
So, the final piece of business we're gonna do is this swerveconfident.com is up and running. New merchandise going on, like, right there. Shout out to my man's Merch God and Franco. They put together this amazing piece of just, look at this, just digital artwork. It looked like an NFT. That thing is amazing.
Damn.
All these shirts are now available. Merchandise, the hoodie for Tears album is out there, ready to go, ready to ship. SwerveConfident.com. Check it out. Get all your new merchandise. I got shirts for you, brother.
A shirt for coming on here.
Oh, that's
this one's gonna be soaking wet in a minute because I'm sweating like
Sunday morning.
Oh, you know, turn up, some kind of shirt.
They're like, hey, we want
black people fans always got the little thing. We never got the thing hanging.
No.
Black, yeah. We always got a pinch for all of our houses.
It's always broken.
It's always broken in our house.
I used to have a drawer,
yeah,
especially with a pair of pliers in it, that I could reach up and grab.
All our houses, we never had them. We never had them.
Wait a minute. Okay. I swear, we're going to get to the show.
We're going to.
We are getting there. I promise you. Just hold on. We're making his editing job way much harder, but that's why I pay him, if I pay him at all. Anyway, moving on. Busted Open Radio is in the building. This is an honor. This shows us how far we've came in this podcasting game. We listen to y'all. We take notes. We study y'all material. So
I study your work, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. We really do. We listen to a lot of the best out there. What separates Busted Open Radio from being one of the best out, if not the best out there in wrestling podcasts?
Wow. First of all, thank you so much for the compliments. I appreciate that. I think it's the chemistry. I think the chemistry, the knowledge, Mark, Tommy, Bully, they're all people who excelled in the ring. So to have that knowledge and all those years of experience. And I'm just a fan. I don't pretend to. And no, this is no disrespect to, you know, like the Dave Meltzers of the world. I don't claim to be a journalist. I don't claim to be. I'm just a fan. So I give the fans perspective. So you have the Hall of Fame experience and then you have the fans perspective. Yeah. I think it's unique. It's different. And the other thing, too, is that we take phone calls because we're live.
Yeah.
So we're able to take phone calls. So instant reaction to anything that happened the night before. And I got to be honest with you. I can only speak and like, you know, Bully's great. Tommy and I are like long lost brothers. But Mark and I are like seriously like
one brain.
Yeah. We share the same brain. Yeah. We really do. Like we have the same sense of humor, which hasn't like excelled or anything since like eighth grade. It's pretty much like like freshman year in high school. Like that's, you know, like boobies, you know, like, like, you know, and I think you need that kind of chemistry.
Right.
And we don't pretend to be anything than what we are and who we are. And I think the fans could see, and like, it's like your podcast. I'm a fan of this show.
Thank you very much.
Fans know when you're lying to them. Fans know when you're not being genuine. They
or you
know
didn't
that.
Even watch.
Yeah.
Or you,
yeah.
You don't even really know what the subject matter is. Or you're not interested in. You're just doing it because of likes and views and shit.
You just want to be heard. Like
Dave and I both, we speak passionately about the stuff that we follow and like.
Yeah.
And I like even with hip-hop. I've been a hip-hop head since I was in the eighth grade, man. I mean, like, we was breakdancing on cardboard and everybody trying to get that one bar that make everybody go, oh!
Yep.
Like, I come from that. So, like, when you come to, I was the first guy that called in Busted Open because I used to listen to Busted Open as a fan, driving from one town to the next. And I heard somebody talking about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and they not belittling it wrestling. They not talking about wrestling like, oh, that shit is fake. Mm. They wasn't doing that. Him and Doug was like, listen, man, this is an art form. Like, these guys are putting their lives on the line. Like, they were saying stuff. I was like, man, who are these people?
They touched you.
And so I started calling them. And he's like, this ain't Mark Henry, for real. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And thank y'all for not being a dirt sheet.
Yeah.
For not saying stuff that, you know, we don't want nobody to know. They had inside information and wouldn't say it.
Yeah, no spoilers. Yeah.
Wouldn't say nothing.
Like that. That's fire.
And I was like, wow, man, I need to know these people.
Okay.
And, man, so that's what makes me and Dave like the one brain, because like we both, and keeping your mouth shut, people like, man, how were you able to swerve people all of those, no pun intended, all them years you're doing stuff, because I know how to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
You know, I ain't a stooge. I get mad now. We got stuff that go on in AEW and it's out before we make an announcement.
Yeah.
I never understood, like, why are we taking so much joy out of the surprise, the element of just like...
And they get nothing for it.
Yeah.
No pay.
Yep.
No, oh man, we got this drop from Dickweed Charlie over here who told us that this happened.
I'm using that in a lot. Nothing. I'm using that in a rhyme.
But in the same sense, it'd be like, if they watching Euphoria, please don't spoil.
Oh, that's the other thing, too.
On Twitter. Please don't. Y'all watched it. Why y'all putting it on Twitter? I'm like... Y'all do the same shit with our wrestling.
Thank you, because like, and I'm not a, and Mark knows this, I'm not a fan of the whole Star Wars thing, and just never got Star Wars.
Me neither.
Me neither.
Never got into it.
Me neither.
But all you see from like Star Wars fans, oh, if you saw the movie, don't spoil, no spoilers, right? That's all this, and you know, God forbid somebody puts out on Twitter something that happened in the movie, that guy's gonna be exiled, right? Yeah, you know, never, right?
Canceled.
Yeah, can't, like.
Imagine if they put out the spoilers to No Way Home the night of. Or two days before.
It would be, forget about it.
If you did that, that's like social media suicide.
Yeah, cardinal sin.
So it why does. Is it okay in wrestling? Why is it okay why in
don't
pro
we,
wrestling?
Why don't, I think as, I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't hold people to the same standard as the other industries.
Yep, I was about to say
if,
that.
If we all collectively said, everybody, erase them, block them, ban them, don't talk to them, alienate their ass, then I guarantee you people will stop doing it. But we don't work together.
We don't work with a code.
Mm-hmm. We don't work with a code.
We don't.
In wrestling. And you know, some of it is the same way, like I always say, it's hard for black people to work together in concert, because for 400 years, we was told that's the way it's supposed to be. There's a conditioning process in the wrestling business. Don't never tell nobody how much money you make.
Yep.
Don't tell people, like, you know, what contracts that you're doing. You know, like, and,
you're not supposed to share that.
You have to keep some of that stuff secret. But there are structural things, like with insurance and medical, and you got a wife and you got children. I have a daughter with Crohn's, so I need insurance.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I tell another guy, hey, man, like, you know, you negotiate your deal, like, put insurance in, tell them you need insurance. You got family issues. You know, like, so we got to help educate everybody.
Right.
And Dave and I do that because it's the right thing to do. But going back to the whole point, everybody don't work together.
Is that the system set up to, like, they take care of the certain top guys, the top paying people, the number one, the draws and everything.
Golden Circle.
Yeah. They keep them in there. So, because if those guys start making those same complaints or whatever, just trying to help the others out, then the whole system starts changing. And I don't think the system wants to change itself. I think they want to, like, make sure these guys are separate from everybody else so that we don't get that. Like, these guys don't talk to them about these things. These other guys don't get these special privileges because they're getting taken care of. But if they reach out and try to help these others, they're sacrificing what their benefits are getting, you know? So they keep them in up there away from everybody. Same way, like you said, going back, like certain people were getting certain treatment because they wouldn't help the others and they wouldn't start the, like the, you know,
with a big draw. Like, there's guys that were, you know, man, we're the reason everybody come.
Yeah.
You know, they put our name at the top and we automatically get 5,000 people pay for tickets just by having our name on, or 10,000 or whatever it is. Because Dave, we talked about that with Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, they would have shows in the Garden and they would sell 4,000 tickets. But if Hogan's name was on the card,
It'd be sold out, and that's the truth. Like, yeah, back at the Meadowlands, like, I'm from Jersey, at the Meadowlands Arena.
Yeah.
If Hogan was on the card, it was a sellout. If he wasn't on the card, you get a half-empty house. Like, but I don't think it's structured that way anymore.
I'm about to say, are we ever going to get that again?
I don't think so.
By one individual person?
The companies don't want that.
They don't want it.
They don't want one person to have that. It ain't no reason for one man to have all that power. None of that. Like, you don't want a guy to be that.
Right.
The Rock, you know, where they can call their shots and say, I don't necessarily want to do that. And they go, well, what do you mean you don't want to do it? I don't want to do that. End of it.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we don't have to do it. and no, the you're the owner of the company. You don't want that power. You don't want some one dude to have that power.
Mm-hmm.
And
you won't be relying on that.
People like Steve Austin and Undertaker, like, bro, they could just say no. All right, moving right along. Right. What's next?
Absolutely.
You argue with them.
So Mark, is it all? So it's all really about the brand now. It's all about that logo. Yeah. More than any other individual.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you
and we're not talking about one specific company.
Yeah. People,
right.
Oh, that sign, sure.
Yeah.
That point at that WrestleMania sign is more important than your career.
Yep. It's more important than the main event.
It is. It's more important than the main event.
Right.
And anybody that's in it, anybody that's on the show, they can put anybody they want on the show. They want that to be, you know, the prominent thing.
You
and
go
that's
for
not
that.
Just not just WWE. But AEW and New Japan and every company, they want the company to flourish.
Yep.
And they should.
Yeah.
It's their company.
Same with like NFL.
I'm not
going to the Super Bowl.
But I'm just saying, spread the wealth and don't lie about it or put the wool over nobody's eyes.
Right.
Let it be known. I'd rather you tell me, Mark. I just don't want to do that. Like that, if we do that with you, then we're gonna have to do that with other people.
Other people.
And we can't afford as a company to do that. Okay, well, what about this contract and this contract? We can't focus on that. That's not for you to decide, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, point taken. Because I'm going to push the envelope. I always did.
Always do.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, one thing I have to say, man, I have to give you your flowers on is, you know, watching many people who go from one aspect of a dream that they've always wanted to do to something else. As you know, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time and doing what you've done, to be able to transition into media and to be able to transition, because, you know, doing what a professional like Dave does is that's not easy going into that for a lot of people. That's the people who were seamlessly can like let something go. Hey, I did this. This is I made my career in this, and then go into something just so seamlessly and just transition right into media and just fit right in. Tell me a little bit about that. Was it difficult for you, or were you able to say, you know what, I did what I wanted to do. Now I'm going to go into media and have a great career doing this as another talent. Tell me a little bit about that transition.
That's a great question. It wasn't difficult from the ego standpoint, because I stopped having an ego about stuff a long time ago.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I want my team to win. I want all of us to go. And I realize that everybody ain't going to get to go. But I want it, and, you know, we've had that talk coming over here. There's stuff with our team that ain't right that need to be fixed.
Right.
And there's some stuff, you know, sometimes everybody don't get to go.
Right.
That was not an issue. The one thing, structural, how you prepare for radio, how you prepare for media is the important things. Be well-read. To study the product, to know the drops. I couldn't do a read. I would look, I mean, I know how to read.
Could do a read.
Do a read.
I go to my email, and the producer sent me a read. Mark, you got to read in X part of the show, what segment five, what, and I'm like, hi, this is Mark Henry, The World's Strongest Man. And if you like Butterfingers, then go out and buy all, and there's a promo code.
Look how he's looking at you right now, reading that.
That is the look of this son of a right here. But I didn't know how to do it because I had no reps.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And I ain't had no confidence. Dave built my confidence up. He was like, Mark, you got to practice that. Like, go and read it a bunch of times and, like, make it yours. Be comfortable. I can look at the reads now and go, man, if you like Butterfingers, I love Butterfingers. Dave, you like Butterfingers? And then we just freelance. Yep. We just, now it's a part of you.
Yeah.
If you don't study and you don't work at it, you're not going to succeed at it.
Your name is only going to take you so far.
Yeah.
And I used to work on NFL radio, and there was a lot of former, you know, Hall of Fame caliber players that were like, okay, I can do radio now. This is easy. I know football. I can come on and talk football. It's not that easy. Like, it's something, like Mark said, you have to work on. Your name value is only going to take you so far. If you go on the air and you're not entertaining, after a show or two, people are not going to listen. Yeah. No matter who you are, what your name is, or what you did in a former career. Like, you have to own it. And you have to, you kind of open yourself up a little bit. You guys know this. Like, yeah. I know for me, like, I talk about my daughter, I talk about my wife, I talk about my personal life. Like, I don't have a career to lean back on. I mean, I've had three wives, not eight wives, but, you know, it's still time. I'm only 50.
We're still rolling.
You know, but you have to be entertaining. Mark is. I mean, Mark is extremely entertaining. But that takes time. Like he said, that takes practice. He has to watch everything. How can you talk about something the next day if you didn't watch the show the night before?
Right.
And you got to learn about flexion of your voice and the pronunciation and all that type of stuff. Amen. Because you know this too. If you mess up, people are ready to attack you. They're ready to jump on
you. They're on you.
The vultures are circling.
There's also that vulnerability too.
Yep. This is episode 27, actually.
Yeah. That's what my trick is. That's why I got y'all. I mess up on purpose every episode in the beginning, so you can't get me later. Boom. There I get it out the way.
There you go. And you guys were talking about, and it's a great conversation.
Shit on me at all.
About like the wrestler's perspective of companies right now and the business right now. As a fan, it's so different. Because when I was a kid, all the wrestling fans were against the non-wrestling fans because you know, people who didn't watch wrestling didn't understand it. So you always kind of had to defend pro wrestling to people.
Yeah, always. Always.
Now, people who don't watch wrestling don't care. Like, we're actually fighting with one another.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, WWE's better. No, AEW's better.
Yeah, right.
Like,
no, what? New Japan. No, Impact. Like,
yeah, that's a great point, bro.
You repping green? You repping blue? What?
If I go on the air and I compliment AEW, I said, man, that was a great Dynamite last
week.
You're on Tony Khan's payroll.
Yep. That's what I wanted to get into next. What's the fine line of running that shill of one company or another? Like, is it too complimentary for one product? Or is it too, you bash one product too much? Or when you do compliment them, it's like, oh, now you're on this side. What's that fine line?
You're on the side of one or the other if you don't call it down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it like I call it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what and
especially I've like, had talks with Tony. I'm like, Tony.
Tony.
Listen, man, I ain't trying to start no shit, but this is kind of what's on my mind. And, you know, I got to say what's on my mind about this show. He's like, oh, no, Mark, you say what you got to say. Like, you know, we'll just deal with it once you say it. And I was like, okay. And that's a good place to be. Where I was before, I couldn't say, hey, I want to say this. And they, just stay away from it. Don't even reference them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't, if when I was with WWE, they would not want me to talk about AEW or New Japan or Impact or ROH or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not? Like, I mean, it's cool.
You're getting talent from there.
Yeah. And so it got to a point, like, it's hard for us to get guests on from them.
Yeah.
And I love all wrestling. And I have invested interest because there are hundreds of wrestlers that have called me for advice, that I've mentored, that I've opened the door for them to get in, and then now I'm shut out of that door with certain people because I know what their job expectations are, and I know what they're being told. And don't think for one second that there are some people that have been like, hey, they told me not to talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. No heat, you understand, no heat it. For you. I understand.
You knew
your job.
You knew what was coming.
Yeah.
With the decision you made.
What is like, so speaking of that, and mentorship and being able to know, I think it's one thing to be talented in being yourself and doing things yourself, but it takes a whole nother talent and to be able to look at somebody else and to see something in them that even that they might not even see themselves.
Or nobody else is seeing at all.
Or that nobody else is seeing. You've picked some of the best talent in the world doing it right now. You've mentored and seen people and started from the ground up. So tell me a little bit about what does it take for you to see an athlete? What do you have to see, not only physically but mentally, in an athlete for them to become successful in what they do? Because you're great at it.
Well, you watch The Matrix?
Yes.
Not the new one.
Yeah,
I haven't
seen a new one. Don't tell me nothing about it. I'm one of them people. I'm gonna see it.
Look at him! Oh my god! He looks like the Joker. Look at him.
I'm gonna see The Matrix,
bro.
I'm gonna see Nobody.
Nobody's great.
Movies that
nobody's
I'm
great.
That
I that's terrible.
Saw.
Look this right here.
Look at this. Come on. Everybody wearing black. He did not get the memo. How to dress for this? He did not get the memo to dress like.
He came to cast and they was like, you know what? Keep it.
He looked like Nick Furious.
Nick Furious. Damn.
Yo, dog, look at him, bro. This suit is drastic.
See the green stuff falling?
Yeah.
That's what I see in wrestling.
Yeah.
Mm.
I see what people did because they did it because that's them. Like when I met you the first time and I talked to you. As an extra, you was already working on the indies. I didn't know you from nobody. And I came up to you and I said, hey man, I saw what you did. Like, that's live. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that. And it was because you did something that you did because it fit in that moment. That moment will never come back. Mm-hmm. That's instinctive things. Those people, I see them do it and I try to cultivate it. No, do more of that. Like, Ixnay that trying to do the flip off the top. Don't do that. Do what you did with that hole, that moment where you pushed them in the face and you got in their face and you wanted them. You like, come on, give it to me. And you wanted them to push you back.
Mm.
That's what make wrestling is about, feeling. How you make somebody feel and what you get out of it. It's like I always say, wrestlers like having sex.
Oh.
Let's get it.
You can't go straight to the action.
Talk about it.
You gotta kiss him on the neck.
Talk about it.
You gotta, you know, like, hey girl, come over here. Pull him close.
It starts here.
You know,
it's you gotta put on music, Soul Child.
And you gotta massage that.
Talk about it.
That feeling until it becomes so overbearing that it's like, oh, this shit's going down. That's what it's gotta be. It's gotta be and that's the finish. When you say, oh, no, shit, it's done. Like, you into the whole thing. That's it. You can't start there.
Talk
and then
it.
Go back to the beginning and then try to, because once you both land there like this, like, give me about 30 or 45 minutes. When you there, then you can start over again.
Yes.
But, like, you can have another match, but you can't start in the heat.
Tell him, Mark.
And then go try to go to the start.
Tell him, Mark.
Do it.
Tell him.
That's the way I see wrestling. And I want every wrestler to get that, but it's hard to tell everybody that. So it's the people that get it from me are the ones that call me and go, hey, what do you think about this? I'm working this person, that person. And I just give them my honest opinion of what that is because I want them to succeed. It's a lot of people that they just don't want to see everybody succeed or they want something from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want no payment. Like, they the people that employ me pay me. My job as an individual and as a friend and a mentor is to give the advice the best way I can give it.
Yeah. Usually when I hit my finisher, I'm saying I'm sorry because I really thought I was going to be able to go longer. I thought I had a good 30 minutes in me. I'm sorry.
Dave, y'all got 35 minutes in the match. 5 minutes in.
Do we take it home early?
I think we took it home too early.
So, Dave. So piggybacking off of that. So piggybacking off of Mark.
Got me crying.
Mark, you're so good at this.
So, oh shit.
Dave. I'm gonna get my robe off. Yeah, go ahead.
Stop it, man.
Dave got stuck at this part.
Mark, how you do that again? Come here, show me.
Shirt off. I ain't taking my shirt off. I'm like Sting. I'm keeping the shirt.
Oh, Jesus. Yo. Sweet Jesus, please.
Did you keep your shoes on, too?
I can't even.
Tim's.
Tim's.
Oh,
man. Yo. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Man, I need some water.
Yes. Plentiful. Hydrate. So, with Dave, with your piggybacking off of Mark, being able to like see talent before they really get their moment, I got to commend you on your ability to assess talent as they're in their prime of what they're doing.
Amen.
So talk about, like, once again, being fair, but also being critical and not being like running that fine line as well. Like being like, okay, this is the guy, this is where he needs to go. This is where you kind of see those, like, those roadmaps of where their trajectory is going to be, or where they're like, okay, they're trailing off a little bit. We need to get him back on here and stuff like that. You assess that very well, especially just not being in the wrestling. You're a fan, but still have that perspective.
Before you answer that, because I know where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. You're a football fan?
Yes.
So Belichick never played high level football. I think he played high school or something.
Yeah.
Belichick can tell you X's and O's, how this happened, tell you the future. In 10 plays, they're going to run this because they've run this, like, to set up that. And when they do, we're gonna drop their ass 15 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell you, play for play, what people are doing. And Dave has developed that ability.
Yep.
And with analyzing wrestling, from all the hundreds of thousands of articles that he read, all of the studying, the watching, he still got a great memory. He remembers stuff that I did that I don't remember I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I did it.
Yep.
But I don't remember.
I've been there.
And then he tell me, like, oh, no, you didn't do that. Wasn't in 2011. That was like in 2006. And I'm like, damn. You're right. That was 2006.
Because you're living in the moment. You're not thinking of
in the grind.
Going. Yeah, you're in
so
that
moment.
So you
can listen to people that understand because they actually remember it the way that it was, and they go back and pull it up and show it to you. And then once you see it, you go, oh, man, damn, I didn't even realize that.
But it goes deep. I mean, and thank you for that. And I appreciate that, Mark. But also, too, and you guys probably know this with guests that you've had on this show. Absolutely. And stuff like that. Like, I think one thing I've tried to do with Busted Open is have a lot of wrestlers on. And this is something that we try to do that are just starting out, maybe haven't gotten their big break. You know, we had that segment, Get Yourself Over Monday, with a lot of indie wrestlers. I can tell what wrestlers are going to be stars, what wrestlers are going to be future stars. Now, I don't know from their in-ring ability. It's about, like, were they on time for the interview?
Mm-hmm.
When they were in the interview, were they engaged, you know, or they were just doing it because they had to do it? Like, you could tell when somebody is, all right, they're a little bit early for the interview. That means they care about it. That means that they know this is a great opportunity to get themselves out there. When they're a part of the interview, are they engaged? Are they listening? Are they a little bit more open? That means a lot because, especially in pro wrestling, you're like charismatic, you know, personality, that goes a long way. It's not just about your in-ring ability. So if you have an opportunity to be on a national radio show and you're late or you're not giving anything, or you don't want you, it shows that you don't want to be there, I can kind of guess that this is somebody that's probably not going to make it in the business. Because if you're going to do that with this opportunity, what's going to happen later when you may have to do something that you don't want to do?
Man, look at Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks came on Get Yourself Over Monday.
Yep. Great.
A week later, he wrestling Cody on TNT for the TNT championship. He had one match with Cody. They say, hey, man, we want to sign you today. In a week? In 1 week?
Yep.
Because we saw, I said, man, that dude going to be good. He got it. And then he said, look, I want to call you and get your advice on stuff because everybody tell me that you can help and this and that. He was hungry. He wanted it. And then what's the jack-off that came on and did the show that it's like he didn't even know wrestling. I didn't know who he was.
I'm trying to figure it out too.
I don't know.
This is like charades for wrestling.
I don't even want to.
He did the thing with the
guy.
He said, "Cut
Zack Ryder, the company that he was working, GCW."
Oh, GC. I thought
what's the guy?
Nick
that,
Gage?
No, not the guy.
Because he was great when Nick Gage.
Nick
Gage
was awesome. Yeah, the guy that we were talking about just recently. This is how impactful he was. Like he had the match with Ron Funches.
Oh, okay.
I bet you can't remember that song.
Tony Deppen.
Tony Deppen, yeah.
Tony Deppen.
Yeah.
He wasn't serious. And he can't whoop my ass, so when he see this, he can say whatever he wants.
I'm looking around like, how many asses can he whoop in here?
Like, so this is a learning experience for him. When he hear this, he need to know. He need to
wake
be
up.
More serious.
Right.
There's a wake
like
up.
Like, if Mark Henry said, hey, man, like, you got some good qualities, but you weren't prepared. He really didn't even know everybody's name. I mean, like, how you expect to get over and you can't say, Mr. LaGreca, thank you for having me on your show? Mm-hmm. Or how about maybe knowing more about Ron Funches than he's a comedian? Like, so what about Ron Funches' style? Like, are you worried about, he could have just said, Ron Funches is a comedian. He's trying to be funny.
That's
I'm
a lost
not
art,
trying
though.
To be funny.
That's a lost art.
I'm it's not telling a joke. I make my living whooping people's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Bleeding, sweating. I got bills to pay. And I'm going to let a comedian beat me? I'm playing myself. Like, he wasn't there.
You never know who's listening.
You like, never know who listens.
Yeah, every time you get an opportunity to be on the air, you got to take it like, I mean, who knows? Maybe Tony Khan is listening. Maybe Triple H is, you know, Sirius XM. Everybody's got Sirius XM in their car.
Right.
And it's available everywhere. You know, it's not like a local Philly station where you're only going to get it in Philadelphia. Sirius XM is available all over.
A producer driving his car with his son in the back who likes to listen to the show could have, like, hey, Dad, put that on.
Yep.
And he listens and he hears you. Like, it spans beyond just wrestling, too.
I mean, I've had
anywhere.
Musicians. And Nita Strauss, who's an amazing guitar player.
Love
Nita.
She
plays with Alice Cooper, and she's been doing the national anthem for the LA Rams. Like, she listens to the show. Like, and I was able to get her a part of the show because she listened every day.
You know,
like,
what?
You never know. You never know who's going to be
we
listening.
We say this all the time.
You know, Marlon Wayans did that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Marlon called me and was like, yo, man, I heard you on the radio, man. I didn't know you were on Sirius XM. When did you start doing that? And I was like 3 years ago.
It taps in.
Because like, you know, this rant, like,
you gotta infiltrate these people's bubbles because they live in a whole different lifestyle. So you gotta like kind of like shock and be like, hey, this I'm doing this, and they don't know. So sometimes this is the like you said.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to start.
One thing I have to give you your roses for, man, because you know me. I went to school for communications for 3 years, about to get my associate's degree. So I have, you know, been watching a lot of people podcast. You know, you study it. When you do it, when you get into it, you got to do your homework. So one thing I have to say, and I have to give you your roses for, is that you're one of the few people that can get into this there's a lot of workers, either sports or wrestling, and still have a moral compass about what you're talking about. And that is not not very common at all.
No.
You could tell you really care about the quality that you're putting out. You care about not only the calls of the people you have on your show, not only the business, but about what you're putting out to public people. You know what I mean? People publicly, excuse me.
Well, I mean, my boss, right. Marissa Rivas, who's our program director, she's the head of the channel that Mark and I are on.
Right.
She was a student of mine. You
taught at Rutgers.
I taught at CSB. I taught at CSB, and she was one of my students. I got her an internship at SiriusXM, and she worked her ass off and worked up, and now she's my boss.
Right.
You know, like, one thing that, it's Mark. Mark's a Hall of Famer. He's a name. Everybody knows who Mark Henry is. But I make the producer, you know, Gabby, who's a part of our show. She does a tremendous job. I want everybody to know the job that she does. Mm-hmm. So she's a part of our team. She's a part of our show. Get on the microphone, talk. Right. Get yourself out there. I want everybody that's a part of this show to be known and be a part of the team. That means that's so important to me, because they're going to work that much harder.
Right.
If they're just behind the scenes and they don't get any recognition and nobody knows who they are, what's the motivation to work harder? What's the motivation to do better? I want them to get, like you just said, giving the roses. I want to give everybody their flowers so that they work their asses off. It's going to help me, and it's going to help them, and it's going to help the show.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's like everybody's like, when you talk about like this, the dynamic of me and Swerve, like, you know, Swerve's on TV. Swerve's a star. Everybody that comes to the podcast, they see, even they go through, know who he is. They might not know who I am yet. The great thing about it is that, you know, everybody, we always talk about this, everybody has a role to play.
Yeah.
Everybody has a role to play. And like you said, like we say, every time somebody tries to deviate from the team, the game plan, the situation, something always goes wrong. Like you said, speaking of Bill Belichick, if the left guard doesn't know he's supposed to pull to the right side to guard for the running back, there's a problem. Yep. So, you know, when you look at the dynamic of the shows and seeing how things happen, you know, I wanted to be an extension of him starting and then show my personality and who I am from there. Right. But you also got to know what you're getting into. And you also got to know who, you know, who you're with and what's the overall goal of the team. And you guys always, that's why I love this conversation. You guys are talking about team. That's all me and him talk about.
There's always going to be a principle.
Right.
Dave is the principal. He right. invented the show.
Right.
He created the show.
Right.
He did, like, it's his child.
Right.
You can't tell somebody about their child. They know what it is.
Absolutely.
All I could do is say, hey, when you need a break, you can leave. I got your kid, man.
Absolutely. Amen, brother.
Ain't nothing going to happen to him.
Amen.
Like, I'm going to do everything I can like it was you doing it. Mm-hmm. And in order for that to happen, you got to prove that you can do it, mm-hmm. one. And then, two, you got to be able to sustain that drive to get better. Dave challenged me all the time. Like, Mark, you know that you that last segment, you was looking down at your phone. Oh, shit, my bad, Dave. Like, I put my phone away, and then, like, I'm checking my phone in the break. Like, I know how to check my ego and get better.
And three, you got to be comfortable with who you are.
I said that on the way over here.
You got to be comfortable with who you are, too, as a person.
I want him to be better.
Right.
Mark, at his best, is only going to make me look better. It's only going to make the show sound better.
Right.
Like, you know, I wouldn't be doing him right if I saw him making a mistake and I didn't correct it. Well, how is that going to help him, and how is that going to help me, and how is that going to help the show?
Yeah, and Mark being open to the criticism as well.
Right.
And
that's fine. Have to be open to the criticism and not look at it as
personal.
This is a personal attack on me for my not being up to par.
Right.
Everybody, man, I woke up and I said, man, Dave, I need some coffee because I don't know what city we in. How the hell I'm gonna come on a radio show and I can't even think yet?
Yeah. Where am I?
He did, and he said,
I don't know where I am.
This is exactly what he said when we're on the way here. He's like, we got to stop and get coffee because he's coming on this show, and I don't even drink coffee. I don't want to be in a fog when I come on this show, and that goes back to like the comments. Well,
you was really not about to. With Snoop, wouldn't have just been.
Bro, I'm not that dude. Yeah. Like, I want to be open. I want to be aware of what's going on and what's said to me.
Yeah.
Because how many times you talk to somebody and they go, what you say again?
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand what the hell you're saying. You're speaking another language if people ain't focused.
Amen.
You're wasting your breath. Like I said, everybody ain't gonna get to go.
Everybody ain't gonna make it, bro.
And think about all the rappers you know in your life. That them going and picking up a dime bag of weed was more important than being at the studio on time. Oof.
That's it. You talking his conversation.
Or them. You
talking his conversation.
Or you got you got a producer, you got a sound guy, you got a lighting guy, you got everything. The soundboard is everybody's ready and everybody's doing this. Man, where you at? Man, I just left. And when somebody say they just left, that means that they still at their house rumbling through shit trying to figure out some insignificant stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. And they already 45 minutes late. Like, I can't work like that.
No.
I was just speaking to our engineer, T, in St. Pete, where I go. He just stopped for this exact reason. He stopped booking people coming to the studio because one day that don't work, that want to book parties, like studio parties, and do stuff that is not conclusive to what the job is. So he's like, why am I booking rappers to come in here? They ain't prepared. They ain't ready. They sitting here in the studio. They not putting in no work. And I'm recording these people. They don't know what song they want to do. They're just sitting here. I'm not booking people to just sit here. I have a job to do. Otherwise, I'll just cancel the session and go home. But some people are not focused and they're not ready to put in for what the craft takes. It takes a lot. Like, even if you're doing it, I've been making music 13, 14 years. He's been wrestling 12, 13 years. It's still a lot of work that goes into that to stay sharp. Mm-hmm. Even from the beginning, you have to stay on your game too, because there's some 18, 19 year old kid or the kid you just wrestled.
Nick Wayne, 16.
That's 16.
Going 30 work. Minutes. 30 in minutes. Main event with him.
You got to stay on top of your game. And I see that with and the people in a lot of professions, man. And even us, like even with like broadcasters, we got to get better. Sometimes I listen to shows, I say, man, I said that word too much. Or, nah, that wasn't the right time to ask that question. Well, I could have, you know, that transition to swerve could have been better. I'm always watching the game tapes. Always watching the game tapes. Always. I watch. Remember you say, I was watching these episodes. You used to be like, I was watching the episodes back. When I started watching the episodes back fully, like the week after we put it out,
yep.
I started seeing certain things. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
Mine was my posture. I had to get on my posture better.
Certain things. I'm like,
blocking cameras with him. Yeah.
Certain
stuff.
Certain things, man. And you just have to stay on your game. Stay sharp. And that's what gets people like us in the positions that win, because we're always watching the game takes Belichick.
And you gotta understand. And you gotta understand the fans.
You talking to me?
Hey, there's a Caucasian male in a part of this team right there, if you notice. Equal.
Diversity. Equal opportunity in employment.
Mark and I had a party yesterday for our fans.
Awesome time.
Shout out to that.
And Mark brought this to my attention when we were driving over here. You know, and I do my crazy stuff at the beginning. I yell and scream and all that type of stuff. But the rest of that party, I was working. Like, I was going up to each and every fan. I was thanking them. Thank you for listening. Signing autographs, taking pictures. That's the fans.
Yeah.
They came here. They want to make sure that they feel like they listen every day.
Drove 3 hours.
Yeah.
Flew in from New Jersey. Flew in from Philly. Flew in from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you're going to spend like $500,000 to fly in to see to go to a wrestling party? I got to respect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to thank you.
We got to get over the fact that we're too cool.
I ain't too cool, man, to, I hate
like,
that.
Me we got to get over that of like, we're too cool to like mingle, too cool to give people our time. Like, oh, I got to be a superstar. You can't access me too easily. And like, no. Like, we got to get over that mentality of, like, oh, like, this is how a superstar acts and stuff. Like, no, we got to, this is the way 2022 works. The way, like, these communities, wrestling communities, like, podcasting, music, all these communities, we got to join together a little bit more.
If I come up and I ask for your autograph.
Yeah.
And I say, hey, I'm a big fan. Can I get your autograph? You sign it. That takes you, what, 30 seconds 30, to do?
If that.
You're going to forget it. 5 minutes later, but the person you signed that photo for,
it's a lifetime.
They're going to remember that for the rest of their life. And you have a fan for life just from taking that 30 seconds to sign that
picture. Tell him about your Yankees deal, because this is, this made me, Dave told me a story, like the second week that I came on and did Bust It Open with him.
Oh, please share.
Like,
yeah, I was, when I was a kid, 10, 11, I was a huge New York Yankees fan. Like, posters of Reggie Jackson and Greg Nettles on my wall.
He's
and
an
I,
asshole,
and
by
I,
the way.
And I wore, like, I wore the whole uniform. I had my dad got me the entire uniform, like the stirrups and the pants and the hat and everything. Mm. I was just a hardcore Yankee fan. I went to a Yankee Brewers game, 1981. Went to a Yankee Brewers game. Game was over, and I was up against the wall where the players come out when the game's done with my little notepad and pen asking for autographs. Tommy John, he went like this. Rick Cerrone, walk right by. Reggie Jackson, walk right by. Greg Nettles, walk right by. All these Yankees that I worship had their pictures on my wall. Mr. Nettles, please. Mr. John, please. Mr. Jackson, please. Just walk right by me. That night, I went down. I tore all the pictures down off my wall. And from this day, I've never sat and watched a Yankee game again. They lost a fan that day. Now, maybe that didn't mean anything to them. But who knows? Like, you know, maybe I instead of talking pro wrestling, I would have been talking about New York Yankees baseball.
That changed the trajectory of your whole life.
My whole life. But, like, those snub. If one, just one of those players signed my little notepad, I would probably still be a Yankee fan today. But each and every one of those players gave me the hand. So I tore. How can I follow a team that they don't even care to give me 30 seconds of their time?
I never want somebody to go away from coming up to me to walk away going, what an ass. Like, man, I can't believe that. Now, there's some people that are going to walk away from me going, man, what an ass, because they approach me wrong.
Yes. That's the difference.
And that's different.
Amen. That's the difference.
Amen.
And I'm comfortable with looking online. Mark Henry told me to get the hell away from me because he slapped me on the back. He came up and grabbed me. This dude came up and grabbed me. Dave, can I use you as a visual aid?
Sure.
This dude came up and was like, man, Mark Henry put his hand on the back of my neck.
Like a child.
My skin crawled. I felt nauseous. And then I got angry.
Yeah.
And then I can feel my fist balling up. And I'm like, you. And my son was with me, and he said, oh, Dad. No. And I went, So I told the dude, I said, listen, man, when I was a young guy, I probably would be paying you about 80 grand. Because that would probably be what the settlement would have been for me smacking you. Like, don't ever put your hand on my neck like that. And he was like, oh, my bad, I'm sorry. I've never been a pretty girl. But I always told Dave that the life of a celebrity, an entertainer, an artist is like being a pretty girl. People want to behold you when they want to, and it's not your choice.
Yep.
The pretty girl walked through the club, the dude that, hey, them dudes.
Hey, hey.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I never in my life did that. Some of it's home training, but some of it is, I would rather cut off your progress, cut you off, get in front of you, excuse me.
Right.
Can I talk to you for a minute? Then that's something different. And for a man to do that to another man really means that something is off. The balance is off.
Yeah.
And I don't it's like a exchange of power. It's like the people that shake your hand, then they put their hand on top of your hand.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can't do that to me.
Yeah.
No. And for people that do it intentionally, now that I've said that I don't like it, it's even worse.
Yeah.
And I might headbutt you. Oh, because if you got this close to me, it's, I'm going to headbutt you. But I hate that. I hate this overly aggressive exchange of power. And I'm saying overly aggressive. I'm an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to fight, I will fight. But I don't want to.
Nobody wants to.
Nobody wants to.
I don't think nobody wants to fight, man.
Like, hell.
The road mics, podcasters, baby. I don't play around.
But, it's, man, that's like, we got to do better as fans, and we got to do better as entertainers to be able to really love on our fans, but our fans got to do their part, too.
Absolutely. Lord, man. So we are getting a little close to wrapping this up. So we're going to get
somebody. We're going to go over here.
You don't know.
And you don't know. Dave is with me.
Yes.
We might not make it over.
Yes.
Sometime.
Yes, sir.
Man, like you, we started preaching that for a minute. What? And then you got to sew me. Oh, we're going to hell.
We're going to get into a little fun.
It's going
to
be good company.
Oh.
It's going to be good company. We're going to have all our friends.
Might be uncomfortable. Might be uncomfortable. If you're sweating now. Ooh, baby.
It's going to be real.
So what have y'all been like? Y'all checked out the Super Bowl, the NBA, the dunk contest, all that?
Worst dunk contest in the history of dunk contests.
Yo, they need the YouTubers. YouTubers, come on.
Yeah, that's what they need. They
check it out. You watch it?
Yeah, good point.
YouTubers, bro.
It's not what it used to be.
No. You see the guys on the internet?
These dudes are doing like 1080s, bro.
740.
Like these dudes is doing.
Dudes are dunking backwards.
Behind the back, no look, eat a sandwich, like cross-eyed, like spiderweb. I'm like, what are these guys doing? I'm like, look.
Oh, man.
Look, I'm seeing a lot of white boys with bounce, too.
If you guys have.
There's a lot.
If you NBA players cannot get over your ego, I need to care. If you guys cannot get over your ego, at least sponsor these dudes.
Yeah.
Sponsor them.
Please.
At least.
Please.
But man, they had that little dunk league or whatever for a little while.
I was
entertained by that show.
Yeah. The one with Gary Payton was like judging and stuff.
And Shaq and different people.
Nuts.
That's like 15. Somebody pick somebody.
You know what killed it? I'm gonna tell y'all what killed the dunk contest.
What's that?
Not the Timbs, right?
Eric Gordon. Oh, that was the worst.
Horrible.
The only people that loved the Timbs was them. We're in New York outside people. Them the only people that loved that.
Bong bong.
Bong bong, son. Them the only people that loved it.
Anything missed. And then he missed. And then he missed. Like, yo, bro, put some
tennis shoes on.
And you like, what bothered me, he plays in Orlando and he's wearing a New York jersey. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Didn't go over well with me either.
No, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that either.
But my thing was, what killed the dunk contest was everybody knew that 2 years ago, Aaron Gordon should have won that dunk contest that they gave to Levine.
Yep.
And
Isaiah
Thomas and all of the people that was on the board, it had went like 3 rounds, and they was ready to get their ass to the after parties.
Yep. Right.
And they just said, no, this is it. And they killed that off. They did that.
Yeah. Because they were going back and forth. Just
everybody else was like, I think Gordon won that.
When he went under both legs over a mascot.
I had never seen that before.
Fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was on the Segway, too.
And he was spinning.
The timing of that. I'm like, that one. That one.
Like, and now there's guys on the Indies. I saw a guy that was like 5'10 or something the other day on the internet. Like, he took off running, and the ball came from out of view. Somebody threw him the ball. He jumped and put his hand above the square and looked like that. The ball came in, caught it, and dunked on the way down. And I went, that would have won the dunk contest. Yep. And I would have been the person like, whoa. And if that guy would have been represented by the NBA 75.
Yeah.
He was on the Michael Jordan team. And Michael had two dunkers, and Dr. J had two dunkers.
That's all you need.
I miss people running out on the court when somebody, like, yo, oh my God, like tearing them apart because he just did something amazing. Dog, I'm seeing people like throw it off the glass, catch it, throw it off the glass again in midair, catch it.
I'm like, you are
double alley-ooping yourself. I'm like, and he's doing this on Instagram. Bro. Sports Center's picking up on this stuff. Man. And I'm like, where are these guys at?
Not NBA, not NBA. You start, now you watch NBA dunk contest.
They're too cool. Like I said, we're back to that. We're too cool.
Here comes the between the legs. Here we go.
And I don't have to see LeBron do it.
No. At this point, I'm over it. Now I want to see Ja.
If you want to make a team deal and you say, okay, LeBron got a team, Giannis got a team.
That's cool.
All you have like five teams and you have five rounds. The celebrity get one dunk and then the other player that get a dunk. And everybody get like, you know,
we need something,
accumulation of points.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. They got to figure out. They not thinking. We sitting here spitballing and coming up with better ideas than they did, and they do this shit for a living. Look, that. When you have that, look at the crowd. Then don't look at Shaq face.
He on his phone.
Look at this dude with the red shirt.
He's like, over here with his all-star jacket. Just look at his phone.
I didn't know Brett Favre was at the. Crazy.
Look at this woman face. She got the got the lip press.
Yeah, look at Gabby up there, just like, what the hell is this bullshit?
Man, it's ridiculous. So, and those people paid to be there.
In Cleveland.
They probably paid $100 to go to the, or $200 maybe.
$200? That thing like $800.
Am I under-guessing?
$800 at the least.
I don't get it.
Wow.
$800.
I would be pissed.
I'd be mad, bro.
If I paid all that money.
You better get the YouTubers out there, bro. I'm not paying this money. No. Nope.
It's not fair. And you know, like right now, I don't know if y'all football fan. I'm a big football fan.
Oh, dude. I was LA Rams fan.
I've watched.
Oh, you're a Rams fan?
Oh, I was in LA. I met Aaron Donald that night.
Wow.
The night he won the.
You know, Aaron Donald moved up into the top five in my list of all time defensive players.
All time. Him and Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor.
I think he passed Reggie White. I think Reggie is.
I think it's LT and then Aaron Donald. Then,
it's LT. Yeah. That's what I say.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Above Deion, stop.
Deion couldn't tackle.
He couldn't tackle, but there was about a 5-year period where you couldn't even throw on the side of the field that he was on.
But, dog, like.
You take that shit to the house. He didn't just intercept it.
Stray hand and all them dudes.
That's my cousin.
Stray hand?
Yeah.
My cousin Fred Strickland used to play with Deion and Irvin and Aikman on that Cowboys team.
Yes.
He was linebacker.
Get the hell out of here.
Yep.
Wow. Man, I know him.
Fred?
I don't know him personally.
But you know what? Yeah. Number 55, Fred Strickland? Yeah, that was my cousin.
We're big Cowboy fans.
Man, oh, yeah. You made my shit.
Hey.
Yeah,
after one of them games, I got to go to the parking lot and shake hands with Deion and Matt Emmett and Michael Irvin.
That is cool. Crazy, man. Yeah. Because Robert Jones, the middle linebacker on the 55, is like my brother.
And, really? Okay.
You know, I'm the godfather to his kids. Like, man.
Wow.
Zay Jones, that plays for the Raiders, is his youngest son. His middle son.
Yeah,
like, man, they're my kids.
So it's funny, this small circle we're in. Like, after I was watching with AJ and Miko Grimes at their house watching the game. I'm in LA, and so we're just watching it. I'm like losing my mind. I'm wearing my Aaron Donald jersey, wearing my hat. I'm just like, oh, come on. Yep, Aaron Donald got the sack. I got up, losing my mind. Right. I go back to my Airbnb. I'm chilling, just like, we won the Super Bowl. Just relaxing. Nita Strauss' boyfriend, Josh. Shout out Josh V.
King Josh V.
He hits me. I was like, hey, you in L.A.? I'm like, yeah, just laid down. He's like, oh, I'm at the after party. Come over. I'm like, whoop, let's get that. He put the jersey back on, put some jeans. Uber 20 minutes down the road. I'm in the banquet with the Rams celebrating their Super Bowl when I meet Aaron Donald.
Wow. By the way,
bro.
Crazy night.
How cool is Josh and Nita? Like, two of the nicest best people.
They've been on here. Man, I got her album autographed downstairs. They've been here. Good. That's like my family. I've been coming to them for years.
Shout out to NFL teams actually live to their potential.
Donald should have won MVP.
You know what? They should have made that a singular MVP.
They should have.
Like, I've never seen one guy just say, take over and say, I'm going to win the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And on defense, defense.
On defense.
We said that shit.
On defense.
And like, we practiced too, it. Bro. And on defense. On offense.
Offense,
there's some guys that have been like, nah, we're winning this game.
Yeah. When you get the ball, you can dictate that. But when you're on defense,
the third and one
and
stop.
His position.
When he completely holds him back.
His position. Like, he's got to
push through
another grown man.
Joe Mixon, top five rusher.
And he had all that momentum. He just grabbed him, stopped him.
A grown man. And I've like, and I'm meeting Aaron, and I'm like, he's not a crazy big guy. He's like maybe 6'1", 6'2". But like, it's like Joe Burrow's taller than him, honestly. But to have that much agility, power like.
Well, because power is strength and speed combined with power.
And there's nobody better than him.
So his speed is incredible, and the fact that he's really strong is incredible. So, like, to be able to be in motion, and when you, I mean, I'm sound like a damn nerd. Like, an object in motion stays in motion until inertia stops it. Inertia, which when all of the power leaves, Aaron physically was able to touch a human and stop his power.
A grown man, bro.
That's insane. That? And move them backwards. Like he passed him.
Yeah.
And pulled him back.
I was like, that's the greatest defensive play. And then nobody's going to really understand how great that is.
We don't even understand how it happened. So, like, how that worked, the way that he did that, I just don't understand.
And then to get the sack after that.
Right. Still have the sideline, they have the microphones and everything, and McVay is like, Aaron gonna win this game.
Yep.
He said that.
Yep. That's like I love that coach. Because he has so much faith in our players. He has so much faith in them.
The Bengals couldn't do anything in the second half of that game. And they were gifted 10 points. They were gifted 10 points early on in the third quarter.
That T. Higgins touchdown, I was like, I was hot, bro. Coming out of halftime, the face mask pull, I was hot.
Yeah. But, I'm telling you, congratulations, man.
Yeah, great year.
The thing that I was saying to you earlier was I'm a draft nut. Like, I love the draft. I've been watching the draft. And you had 9 guys run under 4.3.
One ran a 4.21.
Yes. And
Ian's going to draft him on
Madden. You know what was more impressive than that?
You know it.
You know what was more impressive than a 4.2? Is a 6'5" guy, almost 6'6". 366 pounds, ran a 4.79.
Damn.
If that dude is at full speed and hits you with that weight, he could kill you.
Yeah.
I'm not.
That's a car. That's a car.
Like, that is like getting hit by a car. And, bro, like, if he don't move up the draft board into the top 15, top 20, NFL don't know what they're doing.
They made the mistake with DK.
Yeah.
I was like, why is he going in the second round? Like, he dropped to the second round.
I look at the Cowboys. They have so many needs.
Oh, bro. They just lose Amari Cooper, right?
Yeah, they're going to lose Amari Cooper. Yeah. But it's $18 million. The Cowboys need the money. Yeah, Jerron Smith, he needs to go.
Yeah.
Mm. That's another
Ryan Tannehill million. Needs to go.
You know what? I feel bad. Even talking about my problems, because you got way worse problems.
I was so heartbroken when we lost to these damn Bengals. I was so heartbroken, dude. She called me, you all right?
No, I need a minute.
They were my pick for the Super Bowl. I really? Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I had Titans-Rams.
Man, I had Brown, and I had the other wide receiver.
Julio?
Julio Jones on my fantasy team, because I knew it was impossible to stop both of those guys.
Yeah, physical.
With the running game that they had. And when Derrick Henry got hurt,
he had to chalk it up.
I was looking forward to going to Cali. Me and him got opposite jerseys on. He probably would have done the same thing he did. But hey, it would have been cool to go. You know what I mean? Me and my bro, opposing teams. No, we choke again.
Right. No. But man, I would love to see the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Even if they have to move up to get him, which I don't think they will, at 24, they would still be able to get him. And if they got that big old defensive guy in the middle, and that's the Cowboys' weakness.
And Parsons together would be a problem. Him and Parsons would be a problem.
Can you imagine how Parsons and Tank could eat?
Lawrence.
Yeah, Tank Lawrence could eat if you had that guy. And if you run a screen or you run a middle draw and he can get upfield and then he runs a 4.7 and he could turn and run and get back.
He's disrupting it.
They got guys on that would be like the old Philly defense with Jerome Brown and yeah. Reggie White and Seth Jordan, like them. And people talk about the Steelers defenses, and they talk about all these historically great, the Doomsday, the Vikings, the Purple People Eaters.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, that Eagles defense, that Buddy Ryan 46.
Oh, they were hurting everybody. Oh.
Yeah. You couldn't run a play.
Yeah. They were nasty.
if you had to go Hutt, hand it off, or Hutt and throw a slant, it had to be that fast, mm-hmm. or you couldn't run a play.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good everybody was.
Yep.
And, man, I don't know how they didn't win a Super Bowl with that.
They got rid of Ryan too quick. I think if they would have kept Ryan, they could have replaced him with Kotai. It was like worst head coach of all time. I mean, you had Jerome Brown, Reggie White, Golic. I mean, that defense was sick.
Yep.
And then on offense, you had Cunningham.
Yeah. That's crazy. You could have made moves.
And Byers, like, yep. Keith Jackson was good. Waters. Too. Ricky Running Waters.
Or Dirty Waters, if you want.
Yeah. 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 Man. Last thing I said.
Yo.
Last thing I want to bring up.
Hey, yo.
I let the joke ride.
Ryan Tannehill makes my blood boil. I said Ryan, not as I haven't been the same. You know? I'm just.
You don't call Ryan no more. He lost his first name.
Damn, got him from the damn dog.
You know he was in the doghouse at practice, and he's like, Tannehill. Like, oh, damn.
Just got him.
I'm just still be a wide receiver, man.
The Cowboys, how do you run the ball when you have no timeouts?
Who does that? Right, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, you're right.
Like, how do you run the ball when you have no timeouts?
Oh, man.
And then you go and hand the ball to the. The center.
Yeah, you got to give it to the ref. The referee got to touch the ball.
That was crazy. Crazy.
And then they doubled down. They wouldn't even say, you know, we made a mistake.
Nope.
We made a dumbass decision. No,
like, them. I'm like, it happens every year.
Last question. You like Dak or no?
I like Dak.
Okay,
cool. I just think that they need to give Dak confidence. The quarterback need confidence. You know when Dak is the best? Somebody jumps off sides. Now there's no pressure. He can throw the ball.
Okay.
He throw dimes
with no pressure.
When somebody jump offside.
Right.
And he don't throw the shit short. He throw it deep. He'll hit Amari. He'll hit anybody. He can. It's like, oh, I got nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's a confidence thing.
Right.
They need to let Dak call his own plays. And when a quarterback has supreme confidence of the offense, it's like wrestling. I go 10 minutes with you, and you ain't never wrestled a wrestling match.
I'm scared.
You would be scared.
Yes, I'm
you
scared.
Would be highly successful if you was in there with me.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Understood.
Don't worry. I got you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Dak does. That's what the quarterback is supposed to do for a team.
Right.
And I've seen it up close and personal many times. I've been to games, and I've been a Cowboy fan. I saw Troy Aikman. I've been on the sideline at games, and you see them go to the huddle, and you can hear them, shut the fuck up, guys. Shut up. Listen, we finna go kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, yeah.
When everybody gets that smile.
Once you see them guys smile, you know they finna do you.
Because if the quarterback's having a good time and confident, having fun.
He come in there working you.
Yeah.
Listen. We finna kick their ass.
I can see that.
Tom
Brady would be down like 24 like this. He'd be like, all right, guys, we're going to
Well, that's a famous story with Joe Montana at the Super Bowl. He was pointing out in the crowd. It's like, yeah, John Candy's out in the crowd. Like on that game-winning drive against the Bengals, he's pointing out that John Candy's in the crowd. And when you're a player and you see somebody so cool and so confident like, and not worse, you're like, all right, we got this.
That's why I know Joe Burrow's going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, he's coming back.
He is a cool, calm, and collected. The guy and his guys, they wore for him. Mm. He had probably the worst offensive line.
That line was terrible.
In the NFL. Out of 32 teams, they had the worst offensive line. Imagine what they can do in free agency. Man. They have $46 million to spend.
All O-line, please.
If I would go to Scherf is out there. It's some real good offensive line. Man. We would be in debt after if it was up to me. I'm going to spend all of it.
All of it.
Ducking every dime.
Can you imagine him being able to stand back and
just have time? Sack nine times and still win?
Against y'all. Donald jumped off sides on that last play. Oops, they didn't call it. It didn't count.
Superstar call, so, baby. You don't call that.
But if
man, we
and you know, and ifs and buts was candy and nuts, we all have a Merry Christmas.
Amen.
But if Joe Burrow would have had one of these,
mm-hmm.
Chase was open.
Yep.
He was open. And he wasn't on the side of the best corner either.
Mm.
So he might not have gotten run down. So there's like a lot of variables. Make the offensive line better for the Bengals and don't change nothing else.
That's it. That's literally it.
Don't change nothing else. The defense coordinator there is awesome.
Yeah, Bengals don't spend money, though.
They don't.
They don't spend money.
They draft. They want to build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of those teams, they're going to get $90 million every year before nobody goes to the training camp. They win. It's a mm-hmm. it's a money factory. That's why they buy those teams.
Yep.
They don't care. There's a lot of teams, they don't care, man. You know, they get the communities that they serve. Who was that built the stadium and then they imploded the stadium like 10 years later? It was somebody recent in the last 10 years.
Built the stadium and then?
Yeah, they destroyed the stadium. I don't know if it wasn't Minnesota.
I was about to say Minnesota with the dome thing falling through with the snow.
Maybe.
Well, I think it was they needed to get a new stadium because that stadium was so damn faulty. Like you said,
the roof. Natural disasters. Man, all right, it's time to wrap this up. It's been a wonderful, wonderful evening, morning.
God bless. If you don't know the difference between morning and evening, God bless.
I don't look outside.
That's a good day.
Whenever we do this show, I don't look out the window. I'm thinking just times. We usually do this at night, too.
We usually do.
Yeah. But, wonderful morning, afternoon. This is the day of AEW Revolution. It's tonight. By the time y'all watching this, y'all be get y'all results and spoilers and all that. But it's tonight, man. It's a wonderful time. Busted Open Radio, Dave LaGreca, the legend himself, Mark Henry's here. TZ, take us home, bro. What do we do one more time with the promotion?
Listen, man, we have once again the album, Tears. By the time you guys see this, would be a week out. But you know,
it's already.
All digital streaming platform by the time that comes out. Once again, the great Mickey Faxon and my brother, John Connor, he called me.
Flash Garments.
And Flash Garments on that. We actually had me and my brother John. Me, that's my therapist. We actually each other's therapist. So I called John and we actually talked to each other about life. That's my brother. He's on there. Ace Cabana is on here. Once again, the great legend, R&B legend, Music Soul Child is on the project as well. Make sure you guys tune in to what we have coming up. We have, once again, exclusive drops, great content, music videos, a whole lot of great stuff coming. Shout out to the team for all the hard work, too, on the project. Shout out to the whole team for the hard work.
Mike the Goat, Psy X, the team is assembled. We're back.
All the engineers, everybody who worked on this project, we thank you very much. And, you know, we have a lot of things coming soon. Also, we also, what's out there, if you go to AEW shop right now, you guys can get this exclusive project that recently came out with us, the Who We Are Volume 1 project. I was appointed 3 records on there, which was good. You know, that's pretty good stuff. You know what I mean? Hey, I sure will. I work hard. And we have, you know, the great songs about Kiera Hogan, Lil Hobbs, I mean, Red Velvet. Some of the great people that I'm pretty sure Mr. Henry is mentoring, giving great advice to. But also, too, there's a great song, which I'm going to plug, which is with the great Josiah Williams. And that is about this man right here. Mark Henry, my favorite song on the project. No, yes.
About something light.
Something light. You know what I'm saying? We're happy to perform it live for him, with him being there. So make sure you guys go to AEWShop.com. Go ahead and get the project. It is going to be on all digital streaming platforms in April. And I need my royalties. So make sure you guys go ahead and get that and stream the Mark Henry song a billion times so we can all eat together. And
communion.
That is it, man. That is it for the community of all the other plugs. So.
Busted Open Radio, it's been a pleasure. Dave LaGreca, Mark Henry, be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
And do your homework.
And speaking of plugs, you know, thank you, Violetta, for last night. Appreciate you.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Hey, man.
Now we're going to see who really know the words. now we're going to see who know the words. Who don't know the words?
Everybody know this.
Everybody know this one, right?
I'm going to send this to music right now.
So many things I got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how. Cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, for then only I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love.
Sing it, Dave.
This what you play before your 2 minutes, brother?
This gets me bothered. 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Two minutes?
That's 120 seconds. Come on now.
Don't.
Nathan, you gotta get it to 100. Come on.
Well, God. That is a cut.
Oh, my God.
Yes.